the Girl Scout website, I am to read, it states, if the child is recognized by the family and school community as a girl and lives culturally as a girl, then Girl Scouts is an organization that can serve her in a setting that is both emotionally and physically safe. So, therefore, they have put out that Girl Scout welcomes cross-dressing boys into their ranks. And now Girl Scouts, like Boy Scouts, was an organization at one point that was, or it, not at one point, it was founded on Christian principles. And now how far we've moved to the left of their thinking. And anyway, when I saw that, I posted it to my Facebook account. I made a comment about it. And my girlfriends, my Christian girlfriends, commented, I went too far. And my first question to them was it just me? Am I the only one that went too far? Or did Girl Scout go too far as well? And it just got me to thinking about how we as Christians think about what our role is in this culture. What is the framework that we use as Christians to go out and just engage our culture, whether we're going to Girl Scout or going to the groceries or baking cookies or whatever the case may be? What framework are we working from?
It makes me so, we're not living, this is not the country I grew up in. It's amazing because it's only about 10 years
no,
difference.
No, you're not that old.
I'm not, it's only 10 years, not even 10 years. I mean,
yes.
I remember when I was younger, I mean, maybe like elementary school, maybe what, 10 years, maybe a little longer ago because 10, I'm what, 23? I think about my own age. That's what happens. What happens when you get like me? But only that long ago, the country was so different where you could, even something as simple as Christian influence in school, whether that be prayer or merely actually being a part of the community, Christian churches actually being a part of the school in an outspoken way, that was something that was... that was a little bit more mainstream. You look at how the views have changed.
It doesn't take that long. I mean, statistically, it takes less than a generation to lose what the previous generations has fought for. And I remember a quote from Ronald Reagan once that if a generation loses freedom, they do not regain it. So once freedom is lost, it's not something that comes back to that generation again. And it doesn't take really long. And a generation is only 20 years. So it's not as if we're talking about, 40, 50, 60 years or even 100 years. We're talking about in the span of roughly 20 years, the needle will move one way or the other on the temperature of the culture.
I can't believe that, because I remember when I was younger, homosexuality, it was a hush-hush kind of, and that's amazing because, again, that was only 10 years or so ago. Mm-hmm. It was a hush-hush thing. If there was maybe a student who was thought to be homosexual or there was, it was taboo, quite frankly, Now we've seen a complete turnaround. And my heart breaks.
Yeah.
If I had a transgender boy with a Girl Scout uniform, transgender, and that's right, transgender boy. I mean, I believe it's a boy.
But you, they're calling her, him a her.
I know. And we're trying to redefine everything.
Yeah.
And when we redefine everything, we're going to lose everything.
Yeah,
that's
you have
what
nothing.
People don't realize.
Yeah, yeah. If you stand for nothing, then what do you have? I was trying to pull up this other article to your other point, that how they're redefining, and here it is. It says one of the nation's largest public school systems is preparing to include gender identity to its classroom curriculum, including lessons on sexual fluidity and spectrum. The idea that there's no such thing as 100% boys or 100% girls. So now there's a spectrum, kind of like autism. You can be, on one end of the spectrum or really, really bad on the other end. And now you have a spectrum on sexual fluidity. You're not 100% boy or 100% girl. And that's the culture in which we live in. And to your earlier point, And I often say the world is doing what is in the world to do. The world is doing what is in them to do. And if I wasn't a Christian, I would be doing the exact same thing that the world is doing. So when I'm speaking, I'm really speaking to Christians because we have a different spirit that dwells on the inside of us, that provides a different framework of how we see the world.
Well, and that's what defines us, that different framework. And, you know, I want to say this. People don't. Okay, let me read. I'm going to read a title from an article. This is Pathios.com. Here's the headline in the article. Girl Scouts to allow transgender females to join troops, upsetting Christian right bigots.
Yes, you know, so right off the top.
No, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. You know, they're not saying that we're bigots. You know who they're saying is a bigot? They're saying God's a bigot.
Yes.
They're not saying Christians are a bigot. Their problem isn't with us. And that's what people have to understand about this whole homosexual debate, okay? The world's problem is not with us. Remember what Jesus said. They hated me. They will hate you. And it's not, and remember what he even said, remember what God said to Samuel when the Israelites wanted a king. And for those of you who don't know, if you've never heard of the scripture before, or if you're not Christian, you never, there's a scripture in the beginning of the Bible. It's in Samuel, okay? It's about a man named Samuel. He was leading the Israelite people, and the Israelite people were led by God himself. And literally, God himself, the presence of God, would come in very powerful ways and would lead the Israelite people. That's how it's recorded in the Old Testament. And the Israelite people cried out to God. They said, we want a king because all the other nations around us have kings, a man to rule over them. So we want a king. And Samuel basically talked against it and said, you know, this isn't the best idea. You don't know what you're asking for. I stood against it. And God told Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me.
Amen. Do not take it personal. We cannot take these assaults personal, but we must look at it through the framework of the Word of God. Today, our culture has drawn a very definitive line in the sand. And either we are for the, I mean, like they're making it very clear, either you're for the Lord or you're for man. You're going to line up with us or you're for God. And we need to decide as Christians, what side of that line are we going to stand on?
And as Christians, we're so afraid, we've been so afraid to get involved in politics. And look where it's gotten us.
Yes.
Because we need to be involved in politics. Do we need to be involved in politics for politics' sake? Of course not. Politics for politics' sake is the worst kind of politics. We need to be involved in politics for one reason, and that's for Jesus Christ. We're going to go ahead and talk more about the headlines as we get into the program. You're on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, with Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here joining us on Wednesdays. It's wonderful to have her in studio. So God is a bigot, apparently.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land. Take 12 12 stones and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Hey, thanks for listening, by the way. Mike Levins here with Kathy Barnett on the mic. And we're talking about the headlines today, like every day. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hump Day. Get through your week this week. We're halfway there. You're almost there.
Hold on.
We're almost there. So, apparently, God is the problem in today's society.
And I like how you said it going into the break. God is a bigot. Is God a bigot? I mean, I think that is and after I talked to my girlfriends who commented that I went too far by making a comment on the Girl Scouts' new agenda of allowing transgender dressing boys into their organization, and to actually say that they have an emotional and physical safe place by being with the Girl Scouts. And then my girlfriends came on Facebook and said, well, you're going too far. You're going too far, Kathy, by making a comment about it. And of course, my response was, as I said earlier, well, is it just me who's going too far? Or what do you think about Girl Scouts? Do you think they're going too far? And there was no comment to that. And so I started having this dialogue with other friends. And when I'm talking to other fellow Christians, they start saying, well, you know, in my opinion, well, what I believe that's right for me, well, it's just for me. And this is how I see it. And I just started thinking, no, I mean, you know, it's not about, I mean, there is a right and a wrong way. And for me, I don't see a lot of gray areas. You know, either it is or it isn't. Either it's true or it's false. Mm-hmm. And I think the difficulty becomes the fact that myself, do I want to align myself? I think the area of struggle is not with, you know, trying to find out what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. The struggle becomes whether or not I'm going to align myself up with what I know to be true.
See, what we as Christians have forgotten, we've forgotten our main mission. Our main mission is going out into all these different areas of debate and making sure that we preach that same gospel that saved you and I is the answer for all of our problems, and that we don't need to be afraid of that, and we don't need to make excuses. See, the church has been intimidated in a lot of ways. We've been just flat out intimidated, and that's what Satan does, right? And you know, I want you to understand something. If you're just listening, by the way, thank you for listening to the program. Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here. We always, on this program, the message you're going to hear, okay, time and time again, is that in all of the problems we face as a country, and indeed as a world, the one answer is Jesus Christ. In any way that we can show you that, I can show you that, Kathy can show you that, whether it's through news articles or scripture coming true, whether it's just through philosophy, whether it's through what's right and wrong, Jesus is the only answer. Now, you may hate that idea, and if you're listening and you hate that idea, but you're still listening, hey, thanks for listening.
I know.
Appreciate it.
Give us a call.
You know? Yeah, give us a call. You could call that number at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. By the way, if it makes you feel any better, and maybe it makes some people feel better, maybe it makes them feel worse, my best friends in high school were actually an atheist and an agnostic. Now, it may make you think, whoa, Michael, do you support any of the views? No, not at all. I hung out with them. They're really good guys. At least I liked, you know, they were friends, you know, but they were lost, and our relationship can only be so deep because of that. But some of you may make you feel better. Some of you may make you feel worse. But go ahead, call in, though, if you disagree with us. I say that all the time. If you disagree with me or you disagree with anyone comes on the program, you know, call in. Let your voice be heard.
Yeah, exactly. Or even if you just want to add into this on, I mean, like, what is the proper way for Christians to think, you know, when we're going out into the world? And you said something earlier what is the goal or the purpose of a Christian? And I thought you were going to say, you know, to buy, you know, a 3-bedroom home, a 3,000 square foot home, or to have a really good job, or to make sure you have a really good retirement account, you know, to make sure your kids are in 4-point activities every year, you know, because those are in the sad indictment on the church is that in most cases, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to churches and moving around in churches in my ministry. And the sad indictment is that we're looking very much like the world. There's very little distinction between the thinking process of Christians today and the thinking process of the world. And that's a huge problem. And so when we come up with issues like, you know, right now our Supreme Court justices are getting ready soon, probably before the end of the summer, come back with their decision on whether or not same-sex marriage should be legal across the land. And the way to think about that as a Christian is essentially they are drawing a line in the sand, and they are saying either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve man. And that's a really difficult proposition and a very scary proposition to have to consider, is that because there will be consequences to us saying I'm going to serve God, you know, and it's something that American churches have not had to struggle through for a very long time. And now that time has come.
Well, which, by the way, to that point you're talking about, just on a side note, as far as homosexual marriage, a lot of people think that, you know, the United States is behind the world, that this is something that the world at large has kind of adopted, and the United States is really the one who's behind the curve. I'll give you a dose of reality here. We actually just had a missionary family at our house. They stayed at our house. They're from Ecuador. Tremendous people. Very, very nice people. If you know anything about Ecuador, their economy has basically been destroyed by communism and socialism. Now, why is that? Well, as a Christian, I'm going to put forward the solution is because they say that the answer is in government and in man, and that always fails you. I remember,
always. History shows us.
You know what? If I went to Google right now, and you know what? Here, I'm going to go to Google right now. So I'm going to go to Google. Why do I love, have you ever done this before? You ever just type a few words into Google and just see what it finishes it with? So why do, the top thing is cats purr. Why do cats purr? Why do we yawn?
We don't know.
Why do dogs eat grass? Why do, you know, my dad wrote yawn one time on a chalkboard. He was teaching someone. And, I think it was at a Christian school, when he was a pastor at a different church, and they all just started yawning because he wrote yawn. You ever experienced that before? Now we're all going to start yawning, and you're going to hear that on the air here. But if you go ahead and type into Google, I don't know, just any word, you could find that you're going to get some interesting searches. Let me go ahead and do this. What is the meaning? The first thing comes. What is the meaning of life? Now, that's probably the most queried search in Google. What is the meaning of life? I could do another one. Let's see. What does... I love this.
I mean,
you don't know what you're going to get.
I know. First of all, I am impressed that you're able to type and talk at the same time. So...
You know, men are not known for their multitasking. I'm not saying anything about myself here, but what I am saying is that this is taking all of the energy in my brain here. And the first thing that comes up, and this is kind of funny, what does the fox say? if you know what that is.
Yes,
that
was, I do. Yeah. I have babies.
Anyway, yeah, baby, yeah. But, you know, and there's a particular search I want to get at here. We'll go ahead and get to that. We got to head to the other side of a break here. But if you look at a lot of what is being searched online, like you can even take that one search just did there. What is the meaning? And then the first thing comes up of life. Mm-hmm. So many people are searching.
Yeah.
And so many people don't know where to look. And they're doing that because they've been told that everything's the answer. Well, you know what? You and I both know that's a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah.
And people are looking. We got to head to a break, but, you know, I have some good news. 2 + 2 does equal 4, and only 4.
WFYL. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A broken onshore pipeline spills oil into the Pacific off the Central California coast. People reported a foul smell near Refugio State Beach.
The beach was just covered in thick black crude. The rocks were covered. The waves that were coming in were just black oil.
Santa Barbara County Fire Captain Dave Zanaboni, the oil was shut off, but there's a slick in the water 4 miles long. A cruise ship is unstuck from a reef off Bermuda.
The cruise ship Norwegian Dawn ran aground as it left Bermuda heading for Boston. Nearly 3,700 people on board, passengers and crew.
The situation is stable. We have our units on scene, so really they're just assessing the situation, particularly with the divers in the water, see what the damage is to the ship.
Dennis Rose with the Bermuda Rescue Coordination Center. The ship lost power for a stretch, and it's been refloated off the reef on which it grounded.
Fox News Radio's Phil Vitka. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule, Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM, WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hi, this is Carla Dedesi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Kids shut down when they don't feel like someone's listening to them. They shut down when they feel like someone doesn't care. And it puts parents in a real predicament because we think that it's the kids that are doing that. But I really believe this is where we are provoking them at times.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
You know, we've been talking a lot about what happens when people don't have any kind of standard, when they don't have any kind of measuring rod, kind of like in our society today. And you know, people hammer post. I empathize with the postmodernists because their view is so untenable, because it's just such a logical conundrum to be a postmodernist. It amazes me. And I empathize for them. I really do. Because in order to live a life like that, you've got to really know your stuff. You've got to really know, because if you're going to determine what's right and wrong, you've really got to understand
everything. Yeah, exactly. I often tell my girlfriend,
Mahatma Gandhi's got nothing on you.
I was talking to my girlfriends, you know, as we were kind of having this discussion about how should we think as Christians. And I said, you know, the issue that you're dealing with right now is that you're involved in mental gymnastics. You're doing everything mentally. You're bending over backwards in order to make sense out of something that is just foul and runs of afoul to the Word of God. We know what the Word of God says. He has a lot to say about homosexuality. He even talks about cross-dressing in the Old Testament. So he covers the gamut on this topic of homosexuality, and yet we walk around as if he said nothing at all.
Well, and you know, I want to, and if you are of the postmodern persuasion, as many people are today, and as many people of my generation are millennial, I do not mean to put a bad taste in your mouth. But listen to what I'm saying, though, because I want you to hear me here. I'm going to go ahead and do a Google search, okay? I just typed in, why are people, okay? Here are the results, the top three results. Why are people? That's all I typed in Google. Why are people gay is the first one, okay, so homosexual. Why are people so mean? Why are people racist? Those are the top three results. I just typed in, why are people? I didn't say, why are bad people? Why are horrible people? Why are people who do things like, very generic, why are people? Gay is the first one. So mean is the next one. Racist is the one after that. Those are the top three. Why do you think that people have this kind of barometer? Because, you know, the first thing I see, Google searches kind of make me sad in a way. Because when I put in that, I see the first result, a lot of people are trying to even understand what gay means, what homosexual means, and whether or not that's the correct term to use now, because the terms are always changing, because our emotions will get uncomfortable with one term, so then we'll go ahead and use another term to justify it, but then we'll get uncomfortable with that one, and we'll just constantly change and change and change, and things and their meanings will just get assigned to different things. The meaning is still the same. Meaning doesn't change. The words we use change. But why are people gay? Why are people so mean? You know, there's an internal barometer inside of us that tells us what's right and wrong. And here's our scripture of the day. This is Romans 2. And the reason I'm doing this is because I'm trying to say the Bible's already pointed it out. This is no new news. The Bible already knows this. Already knows that. Why do people have some kind of... Now, a lot of people say it's because of cultural influences, because of social influences. Maybe you disagree. Go ahead, call in. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. This is your show. 1-877-667-1180. Well, here's the scripture of the day. It maybe you think that people are merely influenced by their surroundings, or they're influenced by the different socioeconomic factors that may have place in their life, or our culture may just be the influence of what's right and wrong. But we know it goes deeper than that, because in order to define something as good or bad, let's not even talk about right or wrong. Let's just talk about good and bad. In order to define something as good or bad, you have to have an idea of something that's either beneficial or not beneficial. So let's talk about exercising. Exercising is beneficial. Not exercising is not beneficial. Or here, let's make it more positive negative, right? Exercising is beneficial, but then the negative side of that would be eating a dozen donuts. I could go for some donuts right now. I could really go for some donuts right now. But so if you have something good and not good, immediately you're setting up something that's right and wrong. Well, why do I define something as good? Why do I define something as not good? I'm defining it because what it's going to be of benefit. Well, what does benefit mean? Something that's going to increase my life, something that's going to make my health better, something that's going to make me live longer, something that's going, and then as the flip side, something that's going to decrease the time that I'm here on Earth because of all the nice little oily fats in those lovely little things that we call donuts. I had some the other day. Those Pop-ums.
I have not had them in a very long time.
I'm tempted.
No.
I'm tempted to get some. Kathy said no. No, I'm tempted to get some. But here's our scripture of the day. Here's this internal barometer. Romans 2:14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law, and that word, law, is referring to, like, in other words, and it encompasses more than this, but the Ten Commandments, okay? If you're not familiar with the Word of God, if you don't know what that means, it's essentially God's rules, right? The Ten Commandments, that's only a part of them, but if you think that way, that's the general idea. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, okay, so the Ten Commandments, if we want to look at those, you know, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness to your neighbor, don't lie. They are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. So even though you may not have God's word,
and you're not a Christian,
you're a law unto yourself, because they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and other times even defending them.
Right.
God's word already knows.
Yeah, unless you live in a culture where your heart and mind has been so seared and has become so desensitized. And I think that is a threat that runs in the Christian community as well, when we're reading things and watching shows and putting ourselves in places, even our own conscience can become seared and can become desensitized to the pricking of the Holy Spirit when he's directing us to turn left or to turn right. You know, and to an earlier thought that you talked about, you know, as we look at, you know, how should Christians think as we're engaging the world? You made a couple of comments. One, you know, about how we are to respond to that little transgender boy that comes knocking on our door on a Saturday morning trying to sell us cookies. You know, do we buy the cookies? Do we slam the door? Do we give him a Bible? You know, do we preach at him?
Scar the kid for life if you slam the door, my
you
goodness.
You know, I mean, and, you know, And we also run the risk of ruining a perfect opportunity. You know, the Word of God says in Revelation chapter 3 that it is Jesus who opens up doors of opportunities. And the doors that he opens, no one is able to close. And what he closed, no one is able to open. So for example, if a transgender boy comes to your door on Saturday morning trying to sell Girl Scouts cookies, whenever that time rolls around again, don't slam the door. Don't preach at him. Don't give him a Bible. But your heart should break. And it was something that you said earlier. Our proper response should be a heart that is broken, because God's heart is broken. I mean, think of the mental gymnastics that's been going on in this child's heart and mind, and the war that is raging within them to be a boy and then to suddenly wake up one morning feeling like a nut, or feeling like, you know, I think I'm a girl today kind of thing. And then you have a whole world that comes around you and say, yes, put on the lipstick, put on the, you know, grow your hair out, put on a wig, you know, act more feminine than I do. And I'm a very feminine woman. And yet when you see homosexuals, they tend to act more exaggerated. You know, their feminine attributes their feminine demeanor is more exaggerated, you know, than mine's. And so that tells you right there, this is not natural. This is more of, you know, of a pretense. They're trying to fill a role. And instead of a culture coming and dealing with these particular people as the way that they should, that this is a mental disorder, in our culture today, we're embracing, and then we're telling those who have the truth, who can provide some hope by sharing mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. The world is telling us we're bigots, and you need to shut up and go somewhere and sit down.
Well, and even to declare it as a mental disorder, you've got to have some kind of plumb line. You've got to have some kind of standard as to well then what's normal?
Well, you know, a boy. What's normal for a boy? Is it normal for a boy to walk around in high heels and lipstick?
In our society, now it's changing today.
No, well, you know, I mean, but that goes back to your earlier point.
Right.
I mean, like, who's the lawgiver? Who has set the standard? And, you know, and the reason why, you know, if you were just reading in Romans chapter, I mean, I forgot what I think
chapter
it's Romans.
Two.
Yeah,
yep.
Romans, about the law being written on their heart. You know, I love Blaise Pascal. I love him for so many reasons, but one of his famous quotes is that we all have a God-shaped vacuum in our heart that is drawing, and we go through life sucking up all kinds of stuff in our heart, in our lives, trying to fill the void that only God was meant to fill.
And when we try to put ourselves above that, well, I don't know if we can. You know,
we can't.
God has got
successfully.
Right. God has given us amazing abilities to be able to create, but we could create as much as we want. Doesn't mean that there's not a creator above us.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I've got some good news in the fight for religious freedom and the sanctity of life here in Pennsylvania. And that's the addition of another highly qualified advocate joining the cause. His name is Jeremy Samick, and this month he joined our Independence Law Center legal team to serve alongside our chief counsel, Randall Wenger. This legal team now brings additional expertise and passion to the battle as they provide policy expertise and pro bono legal help to advance the cause of life and liberty. It is your generous financial support that helps us stand up for truth and justice, and your support today would be most welcomed. And if you think of it, send along a note welcoming Jeremy to the team. You can contribute tax-deductible donations to Pennsylvania Family Institute, 23 North Front Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17101, or donate online securely at pafamily.org.
Balancing life is our biggest challenge, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Here on WFYL, we address a balanced life every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We have great guests such as the number one best-selling author and health coach Mari Pizarro, and as seen on The Doctor Show, Dawn Cotillo from Be Balanced Centers, and many, many more. I'm the host of Balanced Life, Renee Gable. Please listen every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m., because a balanced life matters.
I'm Gary Volpe with Volpe Enterprises Complete Home Renovations. I'll be discussing how investing in your family with a solid foundation in the Bible and the church can pay dividends for a lifetime. I also will discuss the power of prayer and give some remarkable situations that happened through the power of prayer in my own life. Tune in this Saturday at 8 a.m. to hear the details.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. You all listening to the program here, 1180 WFYL's It's a New Day. Mike Levinson, Kathy Barnett here. Looking at the headlines from a Christian perspective, you got the one thing I'll never change on is that Jesus Christ is the answer for all the issues that we face in our nation as we look at the headlines and in the world as we look at the different headlines too. So, there's an article at charismanews.com. And by the way, you could call in. This is your program. In case you forgot, 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Charisma News, 6 reasons young Christians abandon church. 6 reasons that young Christians are abandoning church. But before we get to that, we have with us right now Al Locke, owner of 1180 WFYL. He's got the election results, so we're talking about a little bit on Montgomery County, and he's going to provide us an analysis of that now. Al?
Yes, the election results are in 100%. They're listed on the web for anybody that really wants to get into the details. But right here, the top vote getter on the Republican side was Representative Bruce Castor. He's running for district attorney. He got 27,000 votes. The second greatest vote getter on the Republican side in the county was Nancy Becker. She got 26,400. She's running again for recorder of deeds. And here, the township commissioners, the top two vote getters, which will be in the general election come this fall, are Steve Talbert with 19,000 and Joe Gale with 16,077. So that's the Republican side. The Democratic side, the top vote getter was Josh Shapiro. He's currently the county commissioner. He got 30,513. And the second most Democratic votes was the lady that's running against Nancy Becker, Jean Sorge, at 28,977. So it looks like it's going to be a good election in the fall. I urge everybody, I congratulate everybody that did vote yesterday, and urge you to support your candidate coming in the general election. Elections do matter. A lot of people have sacrificed to make elections possible in this country, and God bless America. The elections have worked. They selected a good bunch of candidates, and I congratulate once again everybody that voted, and urge you to continue to be involved in the electoral process. Thank you.
As Al Locke, owner of 1180 WFYL, providing us a little bit more thorough look into the election results at Montgomery County. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, with Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett here. You can go ahead and call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. The article that we're looking at is 6 Reasons Young Christians Abandon Church. That's the headline. Now, what would be the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, you know, I was thinking that one of the top reasons would be because they feel as though the church is hypocritical. Am I right?
You know, actually, that's actually not one of the reasons, interestingly enough. Reason number one, this is according to charismanews.com. Churches seem overprotective. And I'll just go ahead and read a little bit of this. A few of the defining characteristics, like the enunciation on that, of today's teens, I had to redeem myself, and young adults are their unprecedented access to ideas and worldviews, as well as their prodigious consumption of popular culture. So churches seem to be sheltering a bit too much the young Christians, and they're getting a little resentful about that, apparently. That's reason number one. Reason number two, and I'll just go ahead and go through these and we could talk about them. Teens and 20-somethings' experience of Christianity is shallow. And it's usually kind of just any experience. One-third, apparently, of young people in the church said church is boring. That's 31%. One quarter of these young adults said that faith is not relevant to my career or interests. That's 24%. Or that the Bible is not taught clearly or often enough. That's an interesting one. 23%. Sadly, one-fifth of these young adults who attend a church as a teenager said that God seems missing from my experience of church. That's reason number two. Some statistics there. Churches come across, here's number three, as antagonistic to science. One of the reasons young adults feel disconnected from church or faith, because they feel this tension. Most common perception on young Christians into this area is that Christians are too confident they know all the answers. According to a survey, that was 35% of young adults. 3 out of 10 young adults with a Christian background feel that churches are out of step with the scientific world we live in. Another one quarter embrace the perception that Christianity is anti-science. And nearly the same proportion have said that they've been turned off by the creation versus evolution debate. Furthermore, the research shows that many science-minded young Christians are struggling to find ways of staying to their beliefs, to their professional calling in science-related industries. Now, reason four. Again, let's get through these first. Young Christians' church experiences related to sexuality are often simplistic and judgmental. Now, what does that mean? Well, if we look at more of this survey, one-sixth of young Christians said that they, quote, have made mistakes and feel judged in the church because of them. Again, referring to sexuality. The issue of sexuality is particularly salient among 18 to 29-year-old Catholics, among whom 2 out of 5, 40%, said the church's teachings on sexuality and birth control are out of date. Reason number five, they wrestle with the exclusive nature of Christianity, which makes sense if you're in the society we're in today where there's no right and wrong. We've talked about that ad nauseum here. 3 out of 10 young Christians said churches are afraid of the beliefs of other faiths. And the identical proportion, so another 29%, forced to choose between my faith and friends. 1/5 of young adults with a Christian background, church is like a country club, only for insiders. And reason 6, the church feels unfriendly to those who doubt, with people not being able to ask the most pressing life questions in church, at least from young people. That was 36% of young people felt that way. And having significant intellectual doubts about my faith, that being 23%. All right, so there's a whole ton of the article, but let's go ahead and a whole ton in that article. Let's concise this down to the points, right? So first, churches seem overprotective. Teens and 20-somethings' experience of Christianity is shallow. Well, let's start at number one. What do you think? Churches seem overprotective, Kathy?
Yeah, and I'm jotting down as you're reading, because my thought for all of these are okay, so what are we to do with this information as parents, as leaders in the church, in our community, or even in our own home? What are we supposed to do with this information? How are we supposed to think about it? And again, we have to have a framework, because just because someone is feeling overbearing, or that I'm overbearing to them or overprotective, so what is my response? Just let them go and do whatever they want to do? Or the fact that church is boring, what do I just bring in? Do I cut down on the word of God and bring in, you know, more praise dancers and louder music? How are we supposed to look at this? Because these are, what's the age group? Young people.
We're looking at like 19 to 28, I think.
Exactly. Hormones raging. They think they know everything. But those of us who lived a little bit, we kind of know. We kind of have some experience we have to take into consideration.
We're going to talk more about this at the break. We're running up to another break, but we're going to continue looking at this article and talk more about this. And it's a new day. The church, a little overprotective.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. Iran's supreme leader draws the line what he will not allow in any nuclear deal as the talks resume in Vienna. Fox News Radio, Simon Owen, live in our European Bureau.
Dave, while Iranian diplomats are heading up those negotiations with world powers, any deal will ultimately have to get the thumbs up from Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who's today said that international inspectors will not be allowed to interview Iran's nuclear scientists. He's also previously ruled out inspections of military sites. Both sides have tentatively agreed to a stepped-up inspection regime, but it seems there are differences on the details, Dave.
Simon, thousands of Iraqis who fled Ramadi as ISIS militants overran the city, killing hundreds of civilians and soldiers, have been granted conditional entry into Baghdad. The U.S. calls Ramadi's fall a setback, vowing to help Iraqi forces retake it. 4 miles of California coastline slick with oil, beaches blackened after a spill north of Santa Barbara.
No additional fuel is leaking from that pipeline, and a berm has been put in place to minimize the oil that's in the soil.
Coast Guard spokeswoman Jennifer Williams, the onshore pipeline broke and spilled oil into a storm drain, then into the ocean. Initial estimates put that spill at 21,000 gallons. A cruise ship that ran aground off Bermuda is now floating again, anchored, waiting for inspection.
They told us it was a coral reef that we had crashed into.
That passenger says you could feel the ship stop when the Norwegian Dawn hit. It took more than 6 hours for crews to free it. 11 automakers have a lot of airbags to replace now that its Takata's recall has been more than doubled to 34 million vehicles. The airbags can explode. 6 people have died. The Japanese company's already been fined $1 million.
Further penalties could be forthcoming based on what our investigation finds.
Mark Rosegun with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Los Angeles is the latest big city to raise the minimum wage. The council's voted to increase it from $9 an hour to $15 by 2020. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
And now another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. A woman told her husband she had to take a few days to find herself. So she went to Golfsmith for their fitting days, going on now, for a custom fitting and to check out the latest gear from all the biggest brands, like the TaylorMade R15 driver. She didn't find herself, but she found a fantastic driver and had it fit for herself. Close enough. Get fit during Golfsmith fitting days. It's free, it's fast, it's fundamental. Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
A Palestinian goes on the attack in Israel, running over 2 police officers with his vehicle. They shot and killed him and were only slightly injured. This as Israel scraps a controversial program to segregate Israelis and Palestinians on the West Bank. Fox News Radio's Jessica Gallagher is live in Jerusalem.
Dave, the defense minister began the plan after complaints from Jewish settlers who ride the buses. They claim Palestinians are a security threat and don't feel safe riding with them. An effort to stop the segregation was launched after the pilot program started. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti is secretary general of the Palestinian National Initiative.
This is the power of nonviolent resistance, that we managed to expose them and managed to mobilize a lot of world resources against such a decision.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu scrapped the plan and called it unacceptable. Dave.
Jessica, the cousin of one of the world's most notorious drug lords, will be sentenced today in New Hampshire. Jesus Gutierrez Guzman could get 10 years in prison after pleading guilty for planning to distribute more than a ton of cocaine in the U.S. On Wall Street, futures are flat before the opening bell. The NBA's top team this season takes another step toward the finals.
Stephen Curry and James Harden were the top two in the NBA's most valuable player voting. They went at it to start the Western Conference Finals.
He made some crazy plays that we defended well.
hopefully we both have a big impact, and that's what we're supposed to do.
Curry, after his 34 points, led the Golden State Warriors to a 110-106 win over Houston. Harden scored 28 for the Rockets, who saw center Dwight Howard limp off with a knee injury. Also last night, Minnesota won the first choice in next month's draft.
We don't know who we're going to pick.
Timberwolves coach Flip Saunders. The guessing surrounds centers Jahlil Okafor of Duke and Karl-Anthony Towns of Kentucky. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
In hockey's playoffs, Chicago needed triple overtime to beat Anaheim to tie their series, the longest game in Blackhawks history. I'm Dave Anthony.
What can being listed on YP.com do for your business? You're about to find out for free. YP will give your business a free listing on two extremely powerful customer delivering tools, YP.com and the YP app. Growing your business requires maximum visibility, and every month, over 70 million potential new customers search for businesses on YP.com and the YP app. 70 million. But if you're not there, they can't find you. Get the maximum visibility that comes from a free listing with America's largest marketing agency for small business, YP. Look, you're the expert in your business, and YP is the expert in driving new customers to your business. Imagine what that free listing on YP could do for your bottom line. Claim your free business listing today. Potential customers are searching for businesses like yours each and every day. Don't let your competitors get them because you're not listed. Go to myfreeyp.com. That's myfreeyp.com. Myfreeyp.com.